meditation is considering Jude, the third verse. Beloved, although I was very eager to write to you about our common salvation, I found it necessary to write appealing to you to contend for the faith that was once for all delivered to the saints. Now, as you know, I think most of you have been here throughout our Lenten journey, considering this man. By the way, this is one of the better looking pictures of him, the best one I could find. Some of them aren't exactly the prettiest. We've been considering him. C.F.W. Walther. By now we've discovered that he's not quite as stuffy as he might look, you know, with the starched collar. Not as academic or unemotional or cold as we might have thought him. He was very passionate, emotional if you like, about law and gospel, about the church and ministry, and about his precious Gesamtgemeinde, the congregation of four that he was the pastor over. But there's still a little bit of a starch collar look, huh? Too stiff, isn't there? Straight-laced, perhaps, we might say. And that actually would be a little true. In Walther's own day, there were plenty who considered him that way. Definite, rigid, inflexible, even. Mostly those people clashed with Walther over doctrine, that is, the teachings of Scripture. And Walther was quite passionate about them. It was one thing he wouldn't bend on. Walther believed that one could not yield even an inch of the truth of the Scripture. But what is the truth? That's the question Pilate asked, of course, in our text for tonight. Tonight's lesson from the Passion, according to St. John. What is truth? Good question. Now, given Walther's particular passion for the topic for this evening, that is, contending for the faith, that is, pure doctrine, we might know what truth is. Truth is pure doctrine, right? That's right, but there is more to it than just that. Take the Jews, for example, from the gospel. They were concerned about pure doctrine, weren't they? We heard that Jesus was led from the house of Caiaphas to the governor's headquarters. It was early morning. They themselves, the Jews, didn't enter into the governor's headquarters so that they would not be defiled, but could eat the Passover. Jesus' passion, you recall, happens during that holy time of Passover, the highest Jewish festival of their entire year. Of course, that festival commemorates God's deliverance of the people of Egypt from the bondage of Pharaoh and Egypt. Passover was quite a holy event then, something that had to be obeyed just so, according to the laws, in order to be pure. According to tradition, entering a Gentile's house during this week would render a person unclean and disqualify him, not even allow him to eat the Passover. So those chief priests especially, but the leaders of the Jews, and probably all Jews, were very careful to keep themselves pure at this time, this week-long festival. Passover wasn't just a day, it was a whole week. And that's because they were so concerned about pure doctrine. Problem is, the doctrine they thought was pure was actually wrong. It was a tradition, not given by God. The tradition ought to have been to remember the promise made at the Passover. Being a part of the people, with the blood being placed on the lintel and on the doorpost, marked you as one incorporated into the promise. That promise wasn't just a lamb that would deliver them that one night, but pointed forward to the Lamb of God. And Jesus, of course, standing before them, is the promised Messiah. By killing Christ, they actually are cutting themselves off from the promise, even if their careful concern for pure doctrine allowed them to eat with the whole nation of the Jews. So they could eat the Passover meal, but by killing Christ, they cut themselves off from the gift of the Passover. Pure doctrine, huh? When Pilate asked them what Jesus had done wrong, they really had no answer. Pilate went outside, of course, to say to them, "What accusation do you bring against this man?" They answered him, "If this man were not doing evil, we would not have delivered him over to you." Now, is that an accusation? Answer? What accusation do you bring? Well, he was doing evil, but we're not going to tell you what it was. It's a non-answer, as the teachers like to call it. Yeah, a non-answer. Well, the crime he was guilty of committing was blasphemy. They took him outside to stone. They wanted to stone him. They desired to stone him for this. But now with the Passover, no stonings, right? So their truth, the truth actually is more concerned than just being about pure doctrine, you know, keeping the traditions. Truth is actually dealing with doctrine that is really pure. I'm going to try to explain that a little bit. From Walther. Walther's concern for pure doctrine is what led he and the other Saxons from Germany to America in 1838 and 1839. There was a law in Germany and in the regions nearby, Prussia. The Prussian king was ruling over Germany at that time. And that king had a wife who was a Protestant. He was a Lutheran. And what got on his nerves more than anything was that he couldn't commune with his wife in the church. Of course, we don't know what that's like. It happens too often. And so there was a compromise made. Being the ruler of the land, and the church being governed by the state at that time in Germany, still is actually, they made a compromise. They said, well, why don't we just say, what would we say today? We'd say we'd agree to get along, right? Agree to disagree. That's how we say it. So they agreed to disagree. They said that even if you don't believe Christ is in the Lord's Supper, you can commune with us. And if you do believe it, you can commune too. Yeah? We'll just agree to disagree. But this wasn't acceptable to the Saxons. Walther, 700 others, and their leader, we've talked about, Martin Stephan, were concerned about keeping the doctrine of our Lord pure, what he's taught about the Lord's Supper. That is, to confess and receive it properly, that they risked an ocean voyage to flee, to go to, if you like, the promised land, the land of opportunity, America. Of course, sea voyages weren't exactly safe in those days. It was a risk. And indeed, one of the ships didn't make it to New Orleans to land, and those 50 colonists lost their lives on that ship, a ship called the Amalia. So they were willing to give up their lives to be able to confess the truth. Later on, one of Walther's theses on the church talked about how important it was to be faithful to the truth. He said that although God gathers for himself a holy church of elect, not just where the word is taught truthfully and where the sacraments administered according to Christ's institution, but also where the word is not taught in its purity and the sacraments are not administered according to the institution of Jesus Christ. If you only, God's word is still there, and the sacraments are not denied entirely and remain in their essential parts, there's still a church there, he confessed. We talked about that before, visible and invisible church, that distinction. But, he says, nevertheless, even if true Christians remain there, and even if the church remains there, every believer must, at the peril of losing his salvation, flee from false teachers. Avoid all heterodox congregations or sects. Talk about that in a minute. And acknowledge and adhere to orthodox congregations and their orthodox pastors wherever such may be found. Walther's saying that even if there's some semblance of a church left, you need to flee from false confession, false teaching. A heterodox congregation is one that mixes. That's what heterodox means. It's a mixture of truth with fiction. We need to flee those places, he said. And he was willing even to suggest that people Now, this is horse and buggy days. Travel great distances, you know, a day trip to find a Christian congregation, a Lutheran one, that teaches according to the Scriptures. Of course, we have people in our own communion that drive distance, you know, from Illinois or Hobart, down south, south of even of St. John. Go where the truth is. But once they were in America, Walther and the Saxons found out that not everybody in America loved true doctrine, and their doctrine, indeed. There were another group of Lutheran German immigrants that settled near Buffalo, called themselves the Buffalo Synod. They were very concerned about pure doctrine, too, teaching according to the Scriptures. But their pastor, Grabow, soon after landing, took issue with Walther and the Missourians about church and ministry. Of course, that's one of the reasons for that text to be written, to respond to Grabow. Walther had answered the teaching about church and ministry from God's Word. So politely, he said to Grabow that we couldn't share with him in communion and fellowship because we disagreed on who should be pastors, whether there should be bishops, etc. So Grabow announced, he didn't like it very well, that Walther and his colleagues were willful, proud sinners who, in spite of all Christian exhortation, have increased sin and become strong in error. Now, that's 18th century talk, 19th century talk, but it's an insult. Just take it that way. And it's interesting that Grabow, in his pursuit of pure doctrine, wasn't willing to be pastoral, to care for Missouri and try to bring them around to what he believed the truth, as Walther was trying to do. Walther desired to be in fellowship with Buffalo, but he wasn't willing to compromise on the truth. Truth is more than just being concerned about pure doctrine. It has to be a doctrine that is really pure. But there's more to it than that, to truth and doctrine. Consider Pilate. When Pilate entered his headquarters again and called Jesus, he said to him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" Jesus answered, "Do you say this of your own accord, or did others say it to you about me?" Pilate answered, "Am I a Jew? Your own nation and the chief priests have delivered you over to me. What have you done?" Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would have been fighting, that I might not be delivered over to the Jews, but my kingdom is not from this world." Then Pilate said to him, "So are you a king?" Jesus answered, "You say that I am a king. For this purpose I was born, and for this purpose I have come into the world." This purpose, to bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth listens to my voice. Pilate said to him, "What is truth?" Now that is a good question, isn't it? What is truth? It's actually a rhetorical question. Pilate really didn't care, did he? Pilate couldn't care less about pure doctrine. I think Pilate really didn't even think there was such a thing as truth, what we consider absolute truth, truth that doesn't change. Of course, that's kind of an oxymoron to say that the truth can change anyway, right? Either it's true or it's not, right? Black or white, false or true. But that's not Pilate. Pilate was too busy with whatever it took, doing whatever it took to feather his nest, to advance his political career, to keep the Jews at peace, and to keep good standing with Caesar. Truth, that is, little details like who Jesus was and whether he was guilty of any crime, didn't matter that much. You see how it goes, right? If truth really did matter, he would not have handed Jesus over to be killed, to be crucified. Could not find any error in the man, any fault. That is quite the opposite of what Walther found with Buffalo Synod, because the Buffalo Synod, of course, did care about pure doctrine. But there were many other Lutherans in America that had been here long before the German immigrations. Indeed, most of those Lutherans are still here in one flavor, who didn't really care at all about pure doctrine. Just not important to them at all. They were more like Pilate. What is truth? Who can say what's true and what's not, right? You've heard this before. It's actually kind of what we call today postmodernism. You've heard of that? Postmodernism? Yeah. The underlying tenet to what is considered postmodern, which supposedly describes my generation, the millennials, the Ys, the Xs, is that there is no absolute standard of anything. Even 2 plus 2 could be 5. That's called the new math. You've heard of this? Yes. Yeah. That's what postmodernism is about, that truth is relative. So, very much like Pilate. Now, these other Lutherans in America who had this flexible definition of truth were quite happy, for example, to commune and join even in fellowship with churches that had very different beliefs than they about any doctrine for that matter, but especially about the Lord's Supper. Now, you remember that the reason why the Saxons came to America was to avoid people who taught differently about the Lord's Supper. And then here in America are Lutherans who are joining in fellowship with Methodists, with Presbyterians, with Catholics, etc. The very thing that Walther had fled in Germany. And so truth is more than just about pure doctrine. It's more than just having doctrine that is really pure. It also has to be something worth being passionate about, worth fighting for, contending for, as St. Paul said. Walther was passionate about the truth, that is, about pure doctrine. As if he weren't busy enough, we talked about all the things he's done, being a pastor of 4 congregations, being the president of the Missouri Synod, president of the seminary, also professor, of course. He also published a journal, a regular journal called Der Lutheraner, the Lutheran. And its purpose was to trumpet to the world, to call Lutherans together around pure doctrine. Its masthead said right at the top of every issue, this is kind of a rough translation, so bear with me, God's word and Luther's doctrine pure shall to eternity endure. I'll say it again. God's word and Luther's doctrine pure shall to eternity endure. That's some passion, isn't it? He believes that if it was only God's word and Luther's proper teaching according to the word that will last through all time, until the last day indeed. For his stands, though, in the Lutheraner, Walther was denounced. Lutherans did not like what he was writing, and other Christians especially, sometimes in language worse than even what Grabau said about him. Sometimes he and the Missouri Synod were forced to part ways with other synods that didn't agree with them on points of doctrine. And we don't like this. We always want to join with other Christians, don't we? We don't ever want to be divided from others, especially Christians in our own midst and Lutherans, other Lutherans. But when an individual or a congregation departs from God's word, if they're unwilling to hear the call to repentance, we are to separate from them, to break our ties with them, so as to not dilute the truth in our midst. But this is never an easy thing, and it hurt Pastor Walther too. But for him, and I think for us, if the choice was compromising a single word of God, that was no choice at all. See, truth is more than just having a doctrine that is really pure. It does have to be something that you're willing, that it's worth being passionate about. But what is truth? I've kind of walked around that issue a little bit. What does it really mean to say there is truth, and absolute truth, and absolute pure doctrine even? Consider from the gospel read. Pilate said to him, "So you are a king?" Jesus answered, "You say that I am a king. For this purpose I was born, and for this purpose I have come into the world, to bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth listens to my voice." Truth isn't just some ephemeral concept, something that's hard to nail down. Truth is Jesus. Truth is Jesus' passion. And it is the truth that's really pure doctrine. and really worth fighting for, even dying for. Pure doctrine is always true teaching about Jesus. Jesus was born for this purpose. He himself is the truth. He said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me, but except through me," is the better translation. And the truth he is the way that we have eternal life with the Heavenly Father. That life for us required Jesus dying. And to Jesus, that truth was worth it. Right? He was willing to give his life for the truth. That the Father desired us to be with him, in fellowship with him again, to restore what was broken in the garden into the new garden of heaven. Jesus doesn't defend himself against the inept charges of the Jews. He didn't call his servants to fight for him. He was willing to die the terrible death of the cross because he knew it would save us. All truth, all doctrine that is really pure, is about Jesus' life, death, and resurrection. The reason for his life, death, and resurrection. And the results of the life, death, and resurrection of our Lord. No doctrine, whether it's the doctrine of sin, or of the sacraments, or of conversion and election, in other words, how we became believers, no doctrine is given for any reason other than the saving of souls, the salvation of all men. Every word of Scripture, then, is really about Christ, ultimately about his passion, and about how he desires and does save us. And it's that passion of Christ that gave Walther such a passionate desire for pure doctrine. Walther desired that God's truth revealed in Jesus, the saving of souls, be the center, which is indeed what the Scriptures teach. That's why Walther, too, was willing to risk his life to travel to America. That's why he was willing to publish boldly the truth in Der Lutheraner. Why he was willing to publicly, in the midst of Grabau or others, to defend the truth. Because he knew it was the only truth that really matters. It's the truth that God uses to give you eternal life. He talks about the Word and its relation to the truth and suffering. He says, "We therefore need men who in trial have experienced the excellence of the Word, yes, of every word of Scripture. We know that in each word eternal life may be enclosed, and that therefore with each eternal life may also be lost. Each one must be defended to the last," or bis aufs Blut, it says in German, to the blood. Defend every word of Scripture to the very end. If you compromise one teaching of Jesus, you will eventually compromise his life, death, and resurrection, that is, his salvation for you. He also said of the men who are serving in the sacred office of the ministry and of those training for the same, indeed of all Christians, "God requires not only that we love his word," which we certainly all do, "but also that we tremble at it." That is, that we sincerely dread to deviate from a single letter of the divine word, that we dare not add anything to it or take anything away from it. We are to be ready to shed our blood rather than yield even a tittle of God's word. Tittle is the word for the dot above, like our I's and J's, by the way. Walther was passionate about keeping the truth of Jesus pure in our midst. So he responds to Pilate's question, doesn't he? What is truth? Walther was passionate that it's pure doctrine, the pure doctrine of Christ's passion, which is worth dying for. And oh yes, it is worth dying for, which we all will, because by it, we live. We have eternal life. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, Amen.